guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine.
Morena, Rachel, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm good.
Enjoying level 2?
Yes, you know, I'm a bit anxious about being outside in the world, but...
Yes. I think there is definitely an element of that going on. It's very nice to see people that you've been missing, but also it's kind of like sensory overload, isn't it? See everybody at once.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still avoiding the malls, but...
Probably very sensible. Hey, we've had some questions in over the last week, actually to do with level 2, because a lot more people are going back to work now. So we might start with one of those. Somebody texted in to say, I feel pretty uncomfortable about going into work because I'm immunocompromised. Am I still allowed to ask to work from home even though it's level 2?
So yeah, that's a really good question. The government's kind of guidelines around level 2 have not been very clear about what vulnerable people should be doing. I think the implication is that, you know, everyone should be going back to work. But with that said, I think that there's no harm in asking, especially if you're able to work from home. Mm-hmm. We see what, you know, what's going to happen, because we've got, you know, that 2-week kind of lag in terms of seeing if there'll be, you know, another outbreak, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel your pain. I have a friend who's immunocompromised as well, and she feels the same way. So she's asked to work from home, and her boss have given her the okay.
Cool.
So I would ask, and this is one thing that I think, like, unions can take leadership on. Like, you know, if enough people are concerned and they can work from home, I think that's something that we can ask and demand, really, and campaign for. Because I think it's important people feel safe at work, and we still, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, I think.
Yeah.
Very important to remember.
Exactly. And not to use the 2020 buzzword, but unprecedented. If there was ever a time that you were allowed to, you know, have that conversation with your workplace, probably now is the time. So, exactly. Hey, we've got another question here that says, I'm back in the office now, and I've noticed a lot of people not taking physical distancing seriously. I know it's only been a couple of days, so people are just getting used to it, but who should I be bringing this up with at work?
So as far as I know, people are not required to actually physically distance anymore at level 2. And that's what is on the COVID website. As long as they're doing contact tracing in an office space, they're not required to physical distance. That said, like, I can completely understand why you'd still want to maintain a physical distance from people, because we're not out of the woods yet, and we know there's that 2-week lag. So if there are new cases, you know, they're not going to come up now, they'll come up in 2 weeks. So I guess I just want to stress again, like, the leadership role that, you know, you people can play in their workplaces, mm-hmm. in terms of health and safety, and how they want their workplaces to look. You know, if you don't feel safe, that's a problem, right? So it's something I would talk to with the health and safety group. It's something I would talk to with my coworkers. Do people feel the same way? Are there a lot of people who feel the same way? Because if it is, then, you know, that's something you can, like, look at and ask collectively for. So I think what's coming down to for me is that it's not the guidelines at the moment. If you're not comfortable with the government guidelines, it's not going to come from up top, you know. It's something that we could drive at a grassroots level. So
I think also it is a 1 meter work bubble distance. So if you have your work bubble, I think it's a meter is the distancing guidelines that they've given. So it's not that 2 meter physical distancing that we've been told to keep with, you know, strangers outside of the home bubble or the you know, work bubble. But I think 1 meter is the recommendation. Oh, hello.
Sorry, Rach. I thought that was for retail, and then at, like, office spaces, there was no distancing, but we can clarify.
Yeah, and I think, well, I mean, this kind of points out a bit of an issue as well, is if you are unsure, that's definitely something to be talking about with your workplace too, is it not?
Absolutely, and I think, like, the new rules are not as clear as, you know, at level 4 and level 3, it was quite simple.
Mm.
And level 2, it's a little bit more complicated, and I think a lot of us are still getting our heads around it.
Mm-hmm.
And with some clarity and some clarification, I mean, I'm still learning the rules around retail. So I thought that everyone, you know, retail places had to contact trace. That's not the case, actually.
Just hearing that in the news, yeah.
Yeah, so we're still kind of learning how level 2 looks, what level 2 looks like. But I think it's really important that in your individual workplace, you can have a say.
Mm-hmm.
can, you know, play your part in shaping how the workplace looks. And if you're not comfortable, then you have to, you know, like looking at collective action to change that is just really important. Like it's come from the top, but it's going to come from you and your coworkers. So
is this something that maybe the health and safety officer that you've brought up before, is that something that maybe that would be a useful conversation to be having with that person in your workplace?
With the health and safety officer, absolutely. Because it's not like a legislative health and safety issue, because, you know, obviously it's not in the law that you need to maintain physical distance. And so the government's released those guidelines. It would have to be a collective thing. So enough people have to feel, you know, so that's why I'm stressing that collective kind of like, we ask this question when we do, you know, go into a workplace and you look at workplace issues, is it widely and deeply felt? So that's kind of like how you can test whether an issue is a winnable issue. And if something is widely and deeply felt, that's something that you can agitate for and potentially win, because, you know, you've got a majority backing you. So around this health and safety issue, I'd be asking, is it widely and deeply felt? I'd be talking to the health and safety rep, and I'd go from there. If you do have a union rep, I definitely would discuss with them as well. As I said, this is just something that we will have from the bottom, and it's about making sure that you're comfortable and safe at work.
So we've also had a question that is a bit more of a broad union question. What is a collective agreement, and how do you go about setting one up in your workplace, Justine?
That's a great question, because I love talking about collective agreements. So collective agreements are the same as an individual agreement, but they are agreements between employers and registered unions, or like a representative body that represents workers, right? So the reason that we have collective agreements obviously is because the bargaining power between employers and employees is not equal in any employment relationship. So the idea is that if you come together and form a union and you bargain as a collective, you have more power to negotiate a better deal, basically, right? So a collective agreement is how that's seen as, you know, legislated in the law. That's what it's called, a collective agreement. So it has to be with a registered union. But we actually, something I've discovered is that non-union members actually can also.
Oh, I think we've lost you a little bit there. You still there, Justine?
Still there, sorry.
No, that's all right. It's just the internet playing up on us. Would you be able to repeat that last thing?
Yeah, no, so what I've recently found out as well is even if you are not a member of a registered union, non-union members can also bargain collectively with an employer or employers, but their negotiations can't end up in a collective agreement, only identical or very similar employment agreements. So even if you have a union in your sector, you can bargain collectively and come together to increase your bargaining power. So yeah, a collective agreement is basically, it says on the tin. It's a collective agreement, so the employees come together to power to be able to negotiate a better deal, basically. Does that?
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. So if people wanted to set one up, how does that work? Do you have to talk to a union, or can you do it yourselves? How can people go about it?
So if you have more than two union members at a site, you should be able to set up a collective agreement. Sometimes unions will say, look, we're not going to negotiate until you have 50% of members, for instance, or 30% of members at a site. So the first step would be to join a union and encourage your coworkers to join a union, and then make contact with the union and ask and sort of give them the information and ask what level of density, we call it density, that basically means are on site, and you know, when can you initiate bargaining for a collective agreement, basically.
Right. I think we lost you a tiny bit there, Justine. So we might have to unfortunately give up on the internet connection today, but have really appreciated your help this morning answering these listener questions. And to those listeners whose texts we didn't get time to get to, we will put them to Justine next week as well, so don't worry, they will get answered. Hey, thank you so much, Justine. Really appreciate that.
No worries, sorry about that internet.
Oh, that's all right. It's just the old World Wide Web, isn't it? Nothing doing. Hey, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Cheers.
See you then.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you very much.